This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم السابع من شهر شوال 1445 الموافق ل16 من شهر أبريل 2024 واصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك زاد رياض الصالحين أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So alhamdulillah, we are back after a long break for Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our deed and make it the path to Firdaus for all of us. So I believe today we are supposed to begin with a new chapter, which is about adabu ta'am. Adabu ta'am, the adab of eating food. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us about food and how to eat food? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave this life without explaining to us whatever we need. Every single thing that Ummah need to succeed in this life, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us how to attain it and how to get it. And whatsoever is harmful to us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advise us on how to stay away from it in the way nobody has excuse. And it is not an exaggeration. There is no prophet to our record that received, you know, such of attention, you know, like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every single part of his life is being narrated to us, including his life in the house, how did he stay with his family, how does he use the bathroom, every single thing. That's why one of the Jews told a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you guys are lucky because your Prophet taught you everything. Hatta al-khira'ah. Al-khira'ah, he's referring to how to use the bathroom. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them how to use the bathroom. If you're not using the bathroom, you go out in a desert to relieve yourself, where to go and how to relieve yourself in that place, and what kind of things are you supposed to be using to clean yourself, every single thing. And this is a clear indication that nothing is being left. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. We have explained every single thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُذِلَّ قَوْمًا بَعْدَ إِذَا هَدَاهُمْ حَتَّى يُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ مَا يَتَّقُونَ. Allah will never let a people go astray after showing them the guidance until he explained to them what exactly he wants them to do. So as I said, nothing is being neglected. It's just up to us to look for that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. We will start getting to lose the correct track and also the path to leadership, you know, to leading the nation in this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this part of the life, the last part of the life. We can only get it if we go back to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and trace our life from that way, and stop looking at it as an old thing, because this is our attitude and our behavior nowadays. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see it as something which is outdated. Waliyadhu billah. That's where we get lost. Whatever was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the correct guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa in tuti'uhu tahtadu. If you follow and accept that which is given to you by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be guided. وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that you can get the guidance. So the predecessors succeeded because this is their manhaj in life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? That's the only thing they want to hear. What was it done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? All of these khilafat, the fighting, the battles you see us doing, they don't have it in the past. And as far as personal life is concerned, they are really, really serious when it comes to what was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They might have differences in terms of which one was done by him. But once it is confirmed to them that this is what he did, the case is closed. Contrary to our life. Yeah, we have to keep on doing our own analysis. We have to check first. Scientifically, we have to look at it and see whether it is good for us or bad for us. We get it as if science is always correct, you know? As if science is always correct. The thing is that the real fact is that which is given to you by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is being guided by the creator of the scientist and the science itself. You get it? He is guided by the creator of the scientist and the science itself. That's Allah Rabbul Alameen. So whatever you call science, Allah SWT knows what is that. Actually, yours is fake. What Allah SWT has given us is the truth. That's why from time to time, we say this is a fact, and tomorrow we discover another thing, we reject the previous one, we establish the new one. What does that mean? We're supposed to be humble and to understand that whenever our information contradicts that which Allah SWT says, that means our information is fake. We have to keep it aside. Yeah? The least you can say about that is that maybe we don't understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. But that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says cannot fail at all. It cannot fail. Ours can fail, and it fails. So many times it fails. So the trust should be placed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, the only way to success is to hold upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything you do. As I always quote the statement of Ibn Asim al-Gharnati, whenever I talk about this matter, he says, وَالْفِعْلُ مِنْهُ أي مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنْ يَكُنْ فِي الْعَادَةِ فَفِي اقْتِفَاءِ نَهْجِهِ السَّعَادَةِ. He said, even, you know, the personal, you know, behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you want to succeed, you should follow that. He says, any action that comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although it might be part of his cultural, personal cultural practice, he says, in following that which was done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though it is part of his culture, success lies. You want to succeed, follow everything he did. He said, وَهُوَ بِمُقْتَضَى أَوْ لِمُقْتَضَى الْجَوَازِ يَقْتَضِي فَحَسْبُنَا مِنْهُ الرِّضَى بِمَا رَضِي. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does something, it shows permissibility. That means it is okay for me to you to do it. So that's why he says, فَحَسْبُنَا مِنْهُ الرِّضَى بِمَا رَضِي. He said, it is okay and enough for us to be pleased with that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is pleased with. Very good life, simple life those people have. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy with, they're also happy with it. Whatever he chose for us, they take it, you know, seriously. And they don't think about any other choice. We get lost, we're depressed, we have a lot of stress, you know. Why? Because we're still not willing to submit in the way they used to submit to that which is mentioned by Rasulullah. So I decided to make this introduction to let us refresh our mind about the nature of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is enough for us. Okay, I repeat this word, enough for us. We don't need to take a single thing from others. Wallahi, everything is given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directly or indirectly. Other natural things, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also indirectly indicated that these are actually made by Allah for us. You don't need somebody to teach. That's why some of the things we are dealing with, we're suffering, we're people in the village, they do it actually. They don't go to school, they get it. Their life is very simple, not complicated, you know. So Islam comes and gives us everything that is beneficial. We just need to search for it. Everything that is beneficial, Islam comes and guides you to go and utilize it and make use of it. Allah says, قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The things you see in the dunya, everything that you see in this dunya, Allah created it for the benefit of the believers. For the benefit of the believers. Yeah, we're supposed to benefit from it because it is created for us. Those who pay the price for it. And the price is Iman, which is benefiting us also at the same time. That's why others, they have to pay for it on the Day of Judgment. Because they don't qualify. You have to be a mu'min for you to be able to use it in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing anything, is not taking action against them? Sometimes they get more than us, because it is dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعَدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَهُ لَمَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِّنْهَا شَرْبَتَهَا. He said, if dunya has the value of a wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah, dunya, the whole dunya, you see, if the value of the dunya has, you know, reached the value of a wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah, a kafir will not be able to have a drop of water to drink in this life. But because dunya is so insignificant in the eyes of Allah, that's why he let everyone just use it. But he said of a system, you have to follow that system for you to use it. That's why if you don't follow that system and you still use the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to pay the price when you meet him on the day of judgment. But here in this dunya, he let everyone go and take it. But he told you not to do it before you pay the due price, which is iman. And this iman is benefiting us. It's not benefiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If everyone disbelieved, that would not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a second. You Allah. If everyone is to commit kufr, everyone to become the worst, that would never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same goes to righteousness. If everyone is very righteous like Jibreel, if you can reach that, that would not increase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything. So iman is for our own benefit. Rejection of the kufr is for our own benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it because he deserves it and because it is the ultimate justice for us to establish it for him. He hates sinners doing it because it is kadhib, lying and injustice and unfairness against him. He created you, created the food for you, created everything for you, grant you the air to breathe, good life, and everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting you, full protection in this life. But at the same time, you take his right and give it to others. How does it work? That's the reality of shirk. When somebody commits shirk, this is how it is. Allah is giving you everything and you're taking his right and you give somebody else. That's why he says, if a person is doing this, when he meets him, he's going to get into trouble. But at the same time, when I observe the tawheed, am I benefiting Allah? No, not at all. If you ever think that your righteousness is increasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the greatest loss and deception. Allah doesn't need all of these things. We need it. And out of his infinite mercy, that's why he made it obligatory upon us, so that this mercy could be given to us when we meet him in the future. It's part of the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this, so that we can do it and get the mercy in the future when we meet him. So please appreciate you being Muslim. That's number one. Appreciate you being among the Sunni, you know, people. Appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you sense of guidance. And appreciate that you are part of this Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is so comprehensive that did not neglect anything. Iwallah, it's something to celebrate. Celebration and sense of happiness. You just remember this, you become happy. That you are one of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your Sharia is Islam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you everything you need. You don't need to go to others. I kept on repeating this because there are so many among us who think that we need others to tell us what to do. Unfortunately, sometimes even in our religion, somebody who is not part of us is teaching us our religion. What has happened to the Ummah of Islam? Somebody who is not one of us is the one who will be teaching us our religion. It's the one who will be telling us what to do. We appreciate their life, we don't appreciate our life. I'm not talking about the life in the Muslim community, it might be wrong, but I'm talking about life in the way Islam wants it to be. If you check this, you look at their life, they don't have life. Iwallah, life doesn't exist in that place. Because without the application of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no life. And when we say Sharia, don't you ever go to that which is always in the brain of the people when we talk about Sharia. When we say Sharia, what is the first thing that comes to the mind? Hudud, cutting the hands and the heads and... Come on. What kind of mentality is this? Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater than this. Yeah, these are laws being prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reformation. rehabilitation, we call it, right? Things which you try to fix them, they don't want to be fixed. You try all your best, they don't want to be fixed. And the existence of those things are threatening the community, the peace it has stake. We cannot survive with the existence of those ones. So Islam tries its best, they don't want to get fixed. Then nothing left except to remove them from the community. So this is one of very small percentage of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sharia is all about values, virtues, adab, how to make you a better person so that the judges in the court will have very few cases being reported to them. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have only a few cases, not a lot, and they will be having, because the iman is there. Time of the Khulafa al-Rashideen and all of these things, problems started to take place when we start to detach ourselves from the manhaj. That's why they mentioned that somebody asked Ali ibn Abi Talib and told him, how come in your time so many problems, in the time of Abu Bakr, no problem, Umar, no problem, Uthman, no problem. But when it comes to your time, so many problems among the Muslims, fighting each other and all of this. Why? So he forgot he's talking to one of the smartest. Ali ibn Abi Talib told him, yes, you are right. Because Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, they were leading people like me. And I, unfortunately, am leading people like you. He said, Abu Bakr and Umar, in their time, who are the people who are next to them? People like us. We know what to do. We know how to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know what is our responsibility. But unfortunately, people around us, it's people like you guys. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq. So the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you subtract it from a place, life will be taken away from that place. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Sharia Ruh. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Respond to the call of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he invites you to that which will make you alive. It means if you subtract the wahi from the community, there will be no life. You Allah, go and see the Western community and see the kind of life they're living in. They know they don't have life. That's why they're always jealous of us. They want us to live like them. They bring chaos and evil, transform the evil to our own territories to make sure that we are living like them. According to the qaida that says, وَدَّتِ الزَّانِيَةُ أَنَّ كُلَّ النِّسَاءِ زَنَيْنَا. A prostitute sometimes always wish to see the other sisters also committing the same thing. So you have to be very careful. Understand how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you by revealing this Sharia to you. Hold upon it, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised you to do. Imam al-Nawawi says, Kitabu Adab al-Ta'am. So this is a new chapter that will talk about Adab al-Ta'am, the etiquette, the adab that a person is supposed to be observing when eating food. So the first bab is the chapter of At-Tasmiyah fi awwalihi walhamdu fi akhirihi. At-Tasmiyah fi awwalihi walhamdu fi akhirihi. When you start eating, you say Bismillah. Now that's the least appreciation you can show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust me, if you have all of the scientists and all of those people who are concerned with agriculture, the experts, bring them from amongst the jinns and the human being, put them in one place. You get it? Including the angels and anyone. Let them grow one grain of rice. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want it to happen, wallahi, will never come out. Who gave us ability to have the rice, the wheat, and all of those seeds and the fruits we are eating? Rabbul Alameen. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it is very amazing. He puts that simple grain under the solid place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it ability to break that part of the earth and come out. It's very fragile. If you look at the plant, when it comes out, it's very fragile. If you blow it, maybe it might be broken. But it comes out by itself. How much do we pay to get this? Zero. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the rain and took care of it. And when the rain comes, you know, they're very fragile. But the rain is coming bit by bit, you know, to keep it for us. And then we bring, it was brought out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, Allah gave us ability to process it. And the next day it is on your plate, you eat. Right? When you eat, this food contains a lot of other things which are not supposed to be in you. When you eat food, all of it stay with you? No. You have a system inside you that filter the toxins and the things which are not supposed to be there in you and bring it out. SubhanAllah. Wallahi, this itself needs our appreciation. That's the reason why you go and need the bathroom, to remove the one that is not good for you. Only the good one is kept. How much you pay for this? Nothing. And that good one, that bad one that is going out, you know, very easy way you go and take it out, right? Do you know that there are some people who cannot take it out? They have to do it through the machines. Yeah, there are some people, they have the bags because they have problem in that part of the body. The doctors, they have to open some part of their stomach, you know, to put the bag there. This is how they pass the things inside. SubhanAllah, you're not like that. You know how much they are suffering? How much you pay for this? Nothing. So if you understand the way Allah SWT has given you all of these things, Allah, you will understand why when you eat food, you need to say Bismillah when you are starting. That's the least you can say to appreciate what Allah SWT has given you. I remember one of our scholars was narrating the story of a person, you know, who visited a king, and the king asked him to advise him. He said, please give me an advice. So he looked at the table in front of the king, and he found a glass of water. He said, sir, I have a very simple advice for you. He said, if you couldn't find half of this glass of water, how much should you pay to get it? You need to drink water to live. And you couldn't find half of the glass of water, how much you pay? He said, I will divide my kingdom into two pieces, I give half of it. He said, okay, what if you drank the water and Allah refused to take it out of you? How much you will pay to get it out? Yeah, because if it doesn't go out of you, it will turn into poison. A person might die because of that. It's very dangerous. It has to go out. So he says, what if you try to bring it out and it doesn't want to come out? He says, how much would you pay to get it? He said, with the other half of the kingdom. And then that person told him, he said, sir, إِنَّ مُلْكًا لَا يُسَاوِي قَارُورَةَ مَا لَحَرِيٌّ أَنْ يُزْهَرَ فِيهِ SubhanAllah. He says, sir, definitely a kingdom that doesn't, you know, have, I mean, that is not equivalent to one glass of water, definitely something that you stay away from it. This is the dunya. And this is the value of what Allah SWT has given us. You know, everyone has water to drink, you know, and one of the easiest thing to get in this life of ours. And we take it, and Allah SWT grants you a way to take it out. That's why when you come out of the bathroom, what do you say? Gufranak, yeah. So some scholars said, Gufranak, it is not because you went into the bathroom and committed sin. They said one of two things. Either the Prophet ﷺ might say Gufranak to show to us that, SubhanAllah, with all of this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I got the food, I eat the food, and I have the system to go and take it out very easily. But still, I'm not doing enough. So he's saying Gufranak for this. According to an interpretation of the scholar. Some scholars said, no, because that time the Prophet ﷺ is not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he comes out, he says, Gufranak ya Allah. Whatever interpretation you are taking, it shows that we are negligent in doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in appreciating that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you know, is doing for us. So when we start eating food, the least we can do is to say Bismillah, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akul. What does that mean? It means you are starting this, eating this food in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And walhamdu fi awwalihi. And when you finish, you say Alhamdulillah, Iwallah. And you should say the same thing I just mentioned just now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who deserves the praise. If we sit to talk about how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting you of His blessings, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تحصوها والله لن نحصيها أبدا. قال وأنا عمرو ابن أبي سلمة وأنا عمر ابن أبي سلمة قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سم الله وكل بيمينك وكل مما يليك. عمر ابن أبي سلمة, this is the son of Umm Salama, right? The wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he was eating, and this is the younger boy, he was eating food. The Prophet ﷺ saw him, you know, putting his hand everywhere. So he told him, Ya Ghulam, he said, boy, Ya Ghulam, you know, even having the Ya attached to the Ghulam, it shows respect at the Prophet ﷺ, to soften his heart. He says, Ya Ghulam, Sammillah. And this is also a message to all of those brothers and sisters who think that kids shouldn't be taught how to observe values when they are very young. I don't know which Sharia is telling them this, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like that. He teach children from the very younger age, as long as they can understand, he start teaching them from that time. It's better for them to get familiar with it. Yeah, we teach them with mercy, with love, you know, you don't become harsh, you recommend, you advise, you know, let them believe in it and love it, you know, let them compete each other, who is doing it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't need to shout, but you give them the best thing to be doing. In the future, it will not be difficult for them to maintain it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Ya Ghulam, Sammillah, say Bismillah when you eat. He said, Ya Ghulam, Sammillah, say Bismillah when you eat. Wakul biyaminik, and eat with the right hand. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That's why the scholar said, there are four things which a person has to do them with the right hand. Eating, drinking, taking, and giving. Those four things a person has to use the right hand when he is doing. Otherwise, he might be imitating the shaitan, the devil. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded people to do them with the right hand. You shouldn't use the left hand. What if the left hand is, the right hand is busy eating? Somebody, as many people say, it is too dirty. But then I don't know which one is more important, you know, the cup or your hand. You know, if you mess up your hand, then why can't you just hold the cup? And anyway, whether you hold it or you don't hold it, somebody is going to wash it. So you apply the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's always better for you. Hold the cup and drink according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught you. You get reward by doing this. Yeah. And don't make connection. Yeah. Sometimes some people do like this, they put on the left, and they do like this. Yeah. If you want to make that connection, then you put it on the right, and then connect. You get it? Not on the left, and then make the connection. Yeah. But the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says you should hold it with the right hand, and drink with the right hand. وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ, and eat from that which is in front of you. And this is really important, especially when you're eating with others. You know, there are some people who are very sensitive. If you're to touch that which is in front of them, they might not eat the food. And it's also against the adab, actually. You're eating with people and you are taking from their front. Not everyone like it. You know, there are some people, they really don't like it. And I guess most of the people don't like it. That's why it is against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eating with others, you start with, you jump from here and there. You have to restrict yourself to that which is in front of you. That's why our scholar said, it is also part of the smartness of a wife, when she is presenting food to the guests of her husband, she distributes the food, you know, she put every type in every place, to avoid having some of the guests, you know, removing the shyness and they go Yeah, because sometimes all the things he doesn't like are in front of him. So he has to do some ta'wil, like the juha, for him to get to the other side of the food. However, also another sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us permission to take from the front of others if the one we like is not in front of us. Anas ibn Malik said he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating the pumpkin, I guess. He said he loves it so much, and when the food was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that pumpkin was not in front of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chasing the thing from the front of others. He said, from that time I loved it so much. I used to not like it, but from the time I see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looking for it from every place, he said, I love it from that time. So we learn that if the food that you like is in front of others, and there is nothing in front of you, there is no problem if you put your hand. Yeah, the best thing is to tell him, please, I like that one, can you just pass it to me? He can tell, oh, sure, just take it, and then khalas, take all. Yeah, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not ask anyone permission, but don't forget, this is Rasulullah. Even his saliva, when he spit, people take it and rub their body with it. They don't find anything disgusting coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But not like one of us, not like one of us. For you, it's better to tell him, I'm going to take something in front of you, or please do pass that one, because I need it. I don't have it here in front of me. So three things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him: to say Bismillah before eating, and also to eat with the right hand, and also to eat from that which is next to you, not to eat from the front of others. قال وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أكل أحدكم فليذكر الله فليذكر اسم الله تعالى فإن نسي أن يذكر اسم الله تعالى في أوله فليقل بسم الله في أوله وآخره. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever one of you eat food, he should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should say, Bismillah, just Bismillah. No need to complete Bismillahir Rahman Rahim, just Bismillah. This is a sunnah. He should say Bismillah. However, if he forgets, because sometimes you are too hungry, you forgot to say Bismillah, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the moment you remember, you should say Bismillahi awwalihi awwalahu wa akhiru, aw fi awwalihi wa akhiru. You should say Bismillah fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. So this is also another sunnah on how to fix it when you mess up things at the beginning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq, and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a question about somebody who is memorizing the Mutun without having contacting the scholars to explain to him the meaning of those Mutun. Should he continue or not? As long as he can find somebody to explain to him what he is memorizing, I advise him to go gradually. It's better to go with the meaning. Memorize and go learn the meaning. It's better than memorizing and then later on you come and look for somebody to tell you the meaning. This is my advice to him, otherwise it might end up just being Himar Yahmul Asfar, like a donkey carrying books but doesn't know what they mean at all. So just go and learn and look for a scholar who can translate the Mutun for him. And that should be after he memorized Quran. Anyone who is memorizing the Mutun before the Quran, this is a waste of time, a lack of good strategy in learning. Start with the Quran first, then go to the Mutun. And when it comes to the fitan, Allahumma istaan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Nothing save a person from the fitan in this dunya except what we had mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, he says, you're going to see fitan in this dunya. He says, the makhraj, he says, فَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُزَحْزَحَ وَجْهُهُ عَنِ النَّارِ وَيُدْخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ هُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ مَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. When he mentioned the fitan and the things that are going to happen in this life, they told him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the way out? He said, hold upon my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. That's the only way out we have from the fitan. Staying away from the fitan is part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then go to the places of the fitan. Then go and live in the place where you know you're going to be tested in your religion. Stay away from that place. Come and live in the place where you can protect and preserve your religion and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peacefully. And practice the sunnah, follow the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you should maintain this attitude and behavior until death. He says, فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. He should make sure that death reach him in a way he is believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. And he should also be kind to others. That's why he said, وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ مَا يُحِبَّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. Should be kind to others. Should be good to others, because this is what you want them to treat you with. You should also treat them in the same way. So this is the best makhraj we have nowadays. Sticking to the Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And don't worry with this normal conservative life, they call it sometimes. Don't worry about that. As long as this is what was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stick to that and be patient. Your life is not going to be fancy, it doesn't matter. You will get that when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just make sure you're doing the correct thing. It doesn't matter whether it is fancy, people find it boring or not. That's why they said the life of the righteous people nowadays is very boring. They have no entertainment in their life. And subhanAllah, they don't know that they are the masakeen. You Allah, they are the masakeen. Because those people, you see them in most instances depressed. From their faces you can read that these people are not living at ease. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused to grant ease to anyone except somebody who is with him. So whoever is not following this path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you see him also putting himself in the state of test and the trial, and this is the last question, I guess, you should remind him with that which is advised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should be following in order to avoid getting into trouble because of the fitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us ability to hold upon the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafeen.
First time seeing fitna, how do we make him read?
Already answered. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.